Shakora walks you through the entire process, explaining everything, and most often will save you money. 100% of all pre-need purchase money is placed in a trust fund in the name of the person buying the merchandise and service. So before you decide on anything, be sure to call 445-2200. That's 445-2200 and talk with Tom Steitner or Tammy Steitner, second generation of the Steitner family. Pre-arrangement by the Thomas M. Steitner Funeral Home in Shakora. Go ahead, give them a call. Do it today while you're thinking about it.
Current temperature outside, 43 degrees, working our way to a high near 45 today. That's a look at your local news headlines. I'm Pat Parker reporting. Dave Malarkey, and it's your turn up next.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Partly sunny skies, partly cloudy. I've looked out two or three times today, and a couple of times there's been sunshine, and a couple of times it's been kind of cloudy. It's chilly. That's the bottom line, and it's been getting gradually colder over the past 3 days, and it's going to get colder than this as we head into the weekend. There is snow in the forecast for late tomorrow night and into Saturday. I hate to think about that. Later on the program today, we're scheduled to chat with the president of Butler County Community College. Dr. Nick Neupower is scheduled to chat with us, but we're very pleased, first of all, to get all the details on the upcoming Veterans Day weekend celebrations with John Cyprian. John is the director of Veterans Services for Butler County. It's good to see you again, my friend. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me here.
This is when I first realized that Veterans Day fell on a Sunday this year, and I forget when it was that I looked at the calendar, and I said, oh, well, that's too bad. But the more I think about it, you know, it gives us a chance to have a whole Veterans Day weekend, and I've talked to a lot of people who are approaching it that way, and many broadcast media are approaching it that way, Veterans Day weekend, which is not bad.
No, it's not bad. It's pretty good. A little extended weekend.
Yeah. Now, the holiday, Veterans Day, actually falls on Sunday. Right. But a lot of stuff is going to be transferred to Monday because that'll be when the governmental holiday is observed. And that's when the parade is in downtown Butler, right?
Yeah, that's the parade. Sunday's God's Day, Dave. So pretty much can't challenge him, so yeah. Just to swap the days
not,
out.
Not going to go up against him.
No. So we move it to Monday, the national recognition for Veterans Day. And so, yeah, there will be a parade in Butler County. It usually starts off about 10:30, 10:40 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And this is it's one of the bigger parades because – well, there are no, and I don't know of any communities around here that have a Veterans Day parade. A lot of folks, right. A lot of towns have their own Memorial Day parade.
Right.
Sometimes they're small celebrations, sometimes they're not. I know a couple of years ago I was asked to speak, I was honored to speak at the Shakora Memorial Day parade, first time I'd been there. And for a small community, they have a wonderful parade. They had a great parade on Memorial Day.
They get it out. They get it done up there.
It just kept coming and coming down Shakora Hill. That was a good day. Yeah. And there are other communities that even though they don't have a parade, they will have a special program on Memorial Day at their tablet or their monument, whatever honor they rolls. Have in their town, mm-hmm. their honor roll. Mm-hmm. But Veterans Day is kind of a different story. Butler's kind of the center for the, you know.
Veterans Day, that's our fun day. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our celebratory day. The Memorial Day is more of the remembering the ultimate sacrifices that preserved our freedoms and our rights. And, you know, those honor rolls were created by the World War One guys and carried on through the World War Two guys. Mm-hmm. And from all those individuals that left from that community. So they kind of celebrate Memorial Day in their community that way.
It's a good way to put it, John. Memorial Day, it is kind of a sad day because we're remembering those who died in service to the country. Veterans Day, we're celebrating all veterans.
We're celebrating all veterans. We're celebrating the armistice. Mm-hmm. The war to supposedly end all wars. We know that's not true.
That
nowadays.
Didn't happen. Yeah.
but this is our fun day. So we like to have fun on this day. We want everybody to have fun on this day. It's not a solemn occasion. It's a celebration. So
and you know, it is the it's the 100th anniversary.
World War One
of the end of World War One.
Yeah.
It ended in 1918, and yeah. Here we are 100 years later. I should have realized that because I'd read about it, you know, on the wire stories over the past year or so. But I got a news release from the folks down at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and they're doing a special program. You know, that was the headline, marking the 100th anniversary.
Right.
And I said, oh, that's right. It's 100 years now.
Right. It's 100 years. And ironically, we have a veteran up at the VA, 100 years old, celebrating his birthday.
John Mahler.
Yes, sir.
That's right. We'll celebrate his birthday.
All right.
I think his actual birthday is on Monday.
I think it
November
was.
November 12th.
Yeah.
I met John. I met him accidentally. And by the way, folks, we'll give you the details on the parade and other stuff in a moment or so, but I have to share this story with John Cyprian. I went to the Wings of Freedom
right.
Tour when they brought the two bombers and the... Oh, gosh, they had three bombers, actually, and a Mustang fighter to... Pittsburgh Butler Regional Airport back in, I think it was in August. I don't know. It was in the summer. I know that. Mm. And I went down because I wanted to. You could look at him, but I you could pay a small fee and go into the planes.
I don't know if it was a small fee.
Well, I don't remember what
it was. It was a nice fee.
Well, I didn't fly in him. That was pretty steep. But I don't know. It was $5 or something. You could actually go in
right,
these bombers, which I had no idea you were allowed to do. And I wanted to do that badly. So anyway, I can't remember whether it was the B-17 or the B-24.
24.
Was it the 24 that John flew on?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was waiting in line to go in the plane, crawl in, and look around, and I saw this gentleman standing there, and he had a hat on that said Flying Fortress, you know, on the front of his hat. And so I, just to make conversation while I was standing there, I said, you're familiar with this plane? He said, I flew on it. In the South Pacific, as I recall.
Right. Yeah.
So it ended up, I chatted with him for quite a while. You know me, I can chat forever. And then eventually I was able to get John on the program with me. It turns out another friend of mine, Jim Diamond, who's a former Pullman employee, and he's been involved in gathering up the history of Pullman. They want to make sure that doesn't die here in the Butler area. And he told me, he said, not only was John involved in flying Fortress, he is the oldest surviving employee at Pullman Standard, because that's where he worked whenever he came back from the war.
I did not know that.
So I had them both on the program, and delightful conversation with John. And, you know, I asked him, I said, do you mind if I ask how old you are? This was this past summer now. He says, I'm 99. I'll be 100 in November.
Right.
So happy birthday a couple of days in advance there, John.
Absolutely. And like I said, he's highly functional.
He's incredible. I had him here on the program for like almost an hour, I think. We chatted about his experiences in the war and about his experiences at Pullman and everything else. So God bless him. Now, by the way, at Veterans Day, you have a tradition of honoring a Veteran of the Year. Are you going to be doing that again this year?
Absolutely, Our Veteran of the Year this year is Mr. Ralph Mariotti. He's a Navy veteran. And I tell you, it couldn't happen to a better man. And Ralph has always given back in the community. And I remember one particular snowstorm. And Ralph's a disabled veteran as well.
Mm-hmm.
And But that doesn't stop him from doing anything. And I got this phone call from another disabled veteran. And Ralph's out there with his snowblower plowing out his driveway for him. Mm. And the guy that called me says, like, Ralph's more disabled than I am. I feel like a hill. He's out there snow plowing my driveway out.
Wow.
But that's just the type of man Ralph is, and it's well-deserving for Ralph.
He was stationed at Miramar, California. I'm reading a little bit from his biography here.
Yeah,
Miramar, that's the Navy fighter.
Top Gun.
Fighter base. Yeah, Top
yep.
Gun, exactly. Top Gun, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Not really, that was the movie.
Yeah, right.
But a good movie, by the way.
It was a good movie. Yeah, I liked it. For an Army guy, I still liked it.
Well, I didn't realize that the Navy was that much involved in, you know, fighter jets. I just thought that was the Air Force. But anyway, another story. And Ralph Mariotti suffered a severe injury during his active duty service.
So. Right, yeah. And I don't want to go into those here. But,
good choice for a Veteran of the Year, that's for sure.
So, but like he's always, wherever, it doesn't matter. Ralph doesn't miss a meeting. He's always involved. He's countless hours up at the VA Medical Center, countless hours with his church. You name it, Ralph's involved in it. I don't know when the guy sleeps. You know, he's just, and if you need something done, is done. He's the first one out in the cemeteries, putting flags on veterans' graves, doing all that stuff. So
he's going to be honored at a luncheon, right, John?
Yeah, that's going to be on the 17th, though, because, you know, the Marine Corps League, they have this birthday thing going on this Saturday on the 10th. I tried to change their birthday, but they weren't having it.
Is that the birthday of the Marine Corps?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So we always have our luncheon after the Marine Corps birthday so that the Marine Corps can take part in the luncheon.
The calendar's just not working this year.
No, last year we got bombarded because it was all in one day. So we had the luncheon, the parade, everything, Marine Corps birthday, the whole everything was all in one day. So nobody took a break from
too much,
8 o'clock in the morning on. So, but it, you know what, Dave? That just goes to show the dedication of the people in the community that put to help. This isn't a John Cyprian Day. This is, you know, different veterans in the community that put all this stuff together and volunteer their time and sacrifice with their families on the holidays and everything else to make sure that we have a great celebration for the day. So, my hat's off to every committee member on there that make this the success that it is.
I'm looking back through the list of past honorees for Veteran of the Year. Roy Ramone, I know him. He's been on the program.
Yeah, he's our immediate past Veteran of the Year.
Bob Ripper, good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Ben Cipher.
Yeah.
Sam Zorzolo.
Yeah.
Sam, anytime we have an event, Sam is in his uniform.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of veterans that can still fit into their uniform.
I'm challenging Sam. He says he hasn't had that altered since the whole time.
I'll tell you what, I've seen him many a time.
I think he's had it altered since 1950.
Well, he looks sharp, I'll tell you that.
He does look good in it. I'm not saying that. I'm just going to have to put that challenge out to Sam.
He's a Marine.
Yeah, in Marine
uniform.
Yep.
Sergeant
Major.
I have to start mentioning names here, but as I look back, guys that I knew, Leonard Beck.
Oh, yeah.
Norm Reddick.
Yeah. But you look at those guys, the Leonard Becks, the Norm Reddicks, and the Ray Bargers, as we spoke of, and Buck Rogers, and all those guys, they're the ones that started the program. I think 79 was the first Veteran of the Year.
I'm looking at the list, that's right.
So we're coming up, this is our 40th celebration for that. And, when I come on board 20-some years ago, and those guys just kind of put the bright light on me, he said, hey, this is what we want, this is what you're going to do, and continue the programs on.
Is the public welcome to attend that luncheon?
Oh, absolutely.
To honor Ralph?
Yeah. It's open to the public, $15 for your meal. And you get to sit and chat with a bunch of veterans. I love this program, Dave. I really do. It's it's the only program like it in our area. I always say in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and I dare say nationally. A couple different counties tried to mirror it, couldn't get it kicked off the ground, whatnot. But to me, this is a good time. A bunch of veterans sitting down. Where else are you going to sit down with World War II veterans, Korean veterans, Vietnam veterans, Desert Storm veterans, OEF, OIF veterans, today's veterans? Everybody can get together, tell their stories, swap their lives, whatever it is, you know. But it's a fun time. And I kind of look at it like this is the stress-free environment before the holiday season it comes upon us. And
good
we can
point.
Just have a great time, have a good lunch, have some fun, have some laughs, you know, do what we got to do before the holiday season kicks off. And I really do love that program.
This luncheon to honor Veteran of the Year, Ralph Mariotti, is, as John Cyprian said, Saturday, November 17th. That's not this Saturday. It's the following one. And it's going to be at American Legion Post 778.
Correct, yeah.
Wonderful facility there.
Oh, they did.
Huge, a lot of space.
Yeah.
Built mostly by veterans themselves, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Steve Savakis, the Sam Zarzullo had a, you know, they always say that Sam begged, borrowed, and stole.
I can remember when they built that, and they called me here at the radio station and wanted me to come out and see it. And I said, okay. I mean, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I said, you know, my reaction was, I guess you want me to see it. I was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
They just finished it, and I had no idea that it was so big and gorgeous. And then they had pictures of, you know, veterans who dug the footers, poured the footers, where they were laying block. I mean, they did almost the whole thing themselves.
You had a bunch of guys there that during that time frame that were. Yeah, certified either plumbers or certified electricians, certified excavating or whatnot. You know, a veteran had passed away, donated all the land to the post, and then they just took it off from there. And they got together, and it just goes to show you're only limited to your own creation. And you know, was there some bickering going on a little bit? Yeah, sure. You're not gonna escape that. But look at the outcome.
Beautiful facility.
It is a beautiful facility.
This American Legion Post 778, it's at the top of the hill in Lindora there. I think that's Kohler Avenue, if I'm not mistaken.
Is.
But you go up to the top of Kohler Avenue, and there's a big tank there. So you can, if you see a military tank, you know you're at the right place.
Right. You're not being invaded. Turn there.
No. So anyway, that's honoring veterans past, present, and future.
Right.
Thanking them for their faithful service, and there's a program and everything, I mean, in addition to the luncheon.
Yeah, there's a little formality that goes on with it, and then we kick it off and we have fun with that. And let me say this, Dave, though.
Sure.
the Veteran of the Year is there's an outline to it. So your military service gets you in the door. It's not your military service that wins you the award. That wouldn't be fair. So what they look at is what have you given back to your community? So they look at your military service and say, okay, yeah, he's in the door. But then they really want to know what you've given back to the community. Because we have this little saying in the veteran community that even though we hung up our uniform, we're not done serving. And we still serve our community. So that's what wins you the award, is what you've given back to your community.
Well said. Well said, John. Again, because of the way the calendar falls this year, Veterans Day on a Sunday, and the anniversary of the birth of the Marine Corps, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, the Veteran of the Year luncheon will be a week later, Saturday, November 17th. you have to buy tickets in advance to that? What are the
You can get them at the door, up at, or you can stop by the office and, grab some tickets right there.
The Office of Veteran Services, you're still right inside the front door there at the county government center.
Yeah, they haven't moved us yet, so we're still right there.
Go through the security check inside the front door and hang a left. And,
hang a left.
That's where you'll find John and the staff. Department of Veteran Services. Now, the parade, back to that. I don't want to give that short shrift. The Veterans Day Parade here in Butler will be Monday, not Sunday, Veterans Day, but Monday morning. Around 10:30, 10:40, it gets underway around that time.
Yeah, we kind of play around with the time a little bit. So, we'll give the early 10:30. It all depends on the weather, and it's really going to be not very pleasant.
Well, we'll see. So, that forecast could change. Maybe it'll warm up a little bit.
I'm hoping so. I put it to the forecast committee to make sure we have a good day. But we like to give enough time for the Marine Corps League to get up to Diamond Park because they're pulling double duty. And that's where they'll pay tribute to the armistice at 11 o'clock on the 11th hour.
The parade, even though it's already started, it pauses.
Right.
At the 11th hour to mark the signing of the peace treaty for World War I.
Right.
Ironic that that was referred to then as the war to end all wars, and 17, 18 years later, we had the start of World War II.
Another one. Yeah.
Not very long, actually.
Right.
We're talking with John Cyprian. John is the Director of Veteran Services for Butler County. I'm in the process of scheduling an interview with a gentleman who's written about the end of World War I. Don't have that quite locked down yet because his schedule's been a little crazy too, but we'll talk about that.
That'll be a fun interview.
Notable on the 100th anniversary, to talk about it. So if you've served in the military, any branch of the military, as John said, that gets you in the door to be considered for Veteran of the Year, but it's far more than that. It's community service afterwards, after you come home.
Yeah.
Speaking of coming home, John Cyprian, you yourself served in the Middle East, right?
I did. I did. Desert Storm.
So the first... It was in the first Persian Gulf War.
Yeah, that's how they referred to it.
We had two or three of them, Well, we had that one.
And we thought that was the one to end all.
That was with, was that with Norman Schwarzkopf?
Norman, the bear.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the one that only lasted less than a week, right?
Correct.
And we were able to drive... Saddam Hussein's troops out of Kuwait.
Those forces,
They hightailed it back to Baghdad after 4 or 5 days of storming Norman.
I always wondered because General Schwarzkopf, he wasn't allowed to go after, it was just to liberate Kuwait. But I always wondered if we had a patent.
would the outcome
have been? I think it's a little different. But to my fellow veterans I served in Desert Storm, happy Veterans Day to you guys too. But it was an experience.
Patton was notorious during World War II, a driver of men. He commanded, it was the Third Army, I think, right? Yeah, it was Patton had the Third Army. And he was just, chomping at the bit all the time. And toward the end, they actually held him back.
Right.
He wanted to go charging across the Rhine and get to Berlin before the Russians did. And that was when political complications set in.
I think that's when General Bradley finally got control of him.
they wanted to... Russians, Soviets, coming from the other direction. And we ended up trying to get everybody at Berlin at about the same time, and then we split it into four different pieces. We had the Russian sector, the French sector, the American sector, and politics getting in the way of war. I'd forgotten about Omar Bradley.
Could you imagine being him with that?
I have to watch, because that was played out in the film Patton, with George C. Scott playing General Patton.
That, right.
And the battles that he had with Omar Bradley is another general.
Yeah.
Patton wanted more gasoline so he could keep his Third Army going toward the Rhine.
Could you see Patton in Desert Storm?
Great flick. Great flick, by the way, Patton.
Oh, yeah.
With the late George C. Scott.
Yeah.
So, were you over there a considerable amount of time? I mean, the actual fighting didn't last too long, but
a
lot of preparation work, because that was the war where we put together the coalition of several countries.
Right, there were like 500,000 troops over there.
Had to ship over an incredible amount of war materiel, because we didn't have anything there at that time.
Right, kudos to whoever did the logistics on that operation, because it was. It wasn't all coordinated properly, but you're talking about 500,000 troops. I mean, that's a pretty big job. I didn't last as long as my unit, because we were up in Kuwait, and I had a little freak accident up there, and I fell off a truck and busted up both my arms pretty bad.
Oh, my.
And they had a...
You never told me that story before.
No, I never told anybody that story before. A couple, the guys I served with knew. But I got 3 pins and 2 screws in my left elbow, and I had 4 stents put into my right shoulder for that. But I couldn't don my protective mask any longer, so they had to get me out of Kuwait. And then I went to the 95th EVAC in Saudi Arabia, and they flew in a surgeon from Walter Reed. His name was Dr. Harrington, and he performed the surgery on me right there at the 95th EVAC MASH unit. And,
goodness gracious.
Yeah, so, but I have no regrets.
Yeah, well, thank you for your service, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And if you see a service man or a service woman, especially over the next few days as we head into Veterans Day weekend, make sure you thank them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any military personnel, past or present, welcome to march in the parade on Monday morning?
I say it all the time, and all of them. When I see veterans standing as patrons on the sidelines there as walking down the parade, I'm like, get in the parade. Let the people appreciate you. But veterans, we're a unique breed. We don't want the pride. We have our pride, but we don't need to, show it and everything else.
Some don't. Prefer not to. That's fine.
That's fine. But I'd like to have one parade before I retire one day, just like 5,000 veterans just take over Main Street and march down. We tried it in 2016 to have 1,000 veteran march. We got, I think, a little under 500 at the time. So then people are like, come on, John, we got to do it again, do it again. It's like, well, you didn't show up the first time. It is a lot of work to put that together. So, but yeah, I would love to have 5,000 veterans just take over Main Street. And
could be so impressionable, though, for especially for young people. I can remember when I was a little kid, I don't know, probably 7, 8 years old, something like that. And even in my small town, the small town that I grew up in, Parker, along the Allegheny River, they had a program, and the veterans in uniform fired blanks, from their guns. And I can still remember. I can remember that like it was yesterday.
Right.
It leaves an impression on young people.
It does. It does. And that's another reason to do it. You may have somebody on the fence. Well, do I want to go? Do I not want to go? Whatnot. But mostly, for the citizens to thank you for your service, because you really do need thank for your service.
Well, just recapping the Veteran of the Year luncheon, Saturday, November 17th at American Legion Post 778. It's open to the public. The luncheon will honor the 2018 Butler County Veteran of the Year, Ralph Mariotti, Navy veteran. And that's a week from Saturday, but coming up this Monday, which is the day that Veterans Day will be observed, the day after the actual holiday, the Veterans Day parade in downtown Butler, which starts at Main and Penn and goes up to the courthouse.
Right, goes south towards the courthouse.
Mm-hmm. John Cyprian is the Director of Veteran Services for Butler County. It's always good to see you, John.
Always, Dave. Always, thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you.
You too, sir.
More to come on It's Your Turn here on WISI. We'll take a break, and we will be returning in just a couple of minutes. Be right back.
Fall flower bulbs are in at Osterling's Lawn and Garden. Stop in for tulips, crocuses, hyacinths, and more. Don't forget Espoma organic flower fertilizer, bulb dust, and bulb planters. Stock up on pantry staples like Radic cutlery gift sets, Conjager jerky mixes, and a variety of flour. Plus, Osterling's has post-property signs, reflective driveway markers, Imperial whitetail supplements, dog and cat warmer, Hamilton dog collars, and check out the new Halloween and Thanksgiving greeting cards from Lean-In Tree. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
That's one of the more recognizable doo-wop songs, recorded by Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, even Elvis. But most well-known is sung by the legendary Marcells. See them perform live at Tanglewood, your hometown center for entertainment, Saturday, November 10th. Doors open at 6. BYOB dinner by Chef George at 7. Showtime at 8. Tickets, $25. Call 287-0021 for reservations.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, my name's Joe, and I work at Compassionate Certification Centers, and I believe in CCC and medical marijuana because we are changing patients' lives in a positive way each and every day. Compassionate Certification Centers is a physician-owned clinic that helps certify patients in PA for their medical marijuana license. Please contact Compassionate Certification Centers at 888-316-9085 or register online at cccregister.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Guests from Butler County Community College visit with us on the next segment of It's Your Turn. And we welcome them. Lisa Kimball is the Interim Director of Workforce Development. Lisa, nice to have you here today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And also Tracy Hack, who's the Coordinator of Community Leadership Initiatives. Tracy, good to see you as well.
Good to see you too, Dave.
There's been news, quite a bit of news from the community college with plans to become more engaged with the community in the city of Butler recently. Some folks, even if they've not heard about this, will perhaps have seen the sign on one of the buildings downtown.
Perhaps.
What's that all about, Tracy Hack?
Well, we are in the A&R building right on Main Street. So if you want a physical picture in your mind, you can imagine where the new Rite Aid is, and A&R is right beside it on the left-hand side.
Right beside it. It was a building that years ago housed a bank, as I recall.
Correct. Yeah. It's painted blue, and now out front there are two signs, A&R and BC3. So I am housed upstairs on the second floor in a front office. And just enjoying the new space downtown and getting to know some of the players downtown and the people and the organizations and leaders and starting a good collaborative process.
So, Lisa Kimball, this is all part of the college's strategic plan, I guess?
Huh? Correct. Yes, it is. It is part of our initiative this year to be engaged more in our community to help stimulate economic development and workforce development in the downtown. And I have the pleasure to oversee five departments that make up workforce development for the college. Mm-hmm. And so as this part in this initiative, we put together a series of workshops to take downtown and deliver to the community.
Have they started yet?
They have started. Actually, we started in October. I first want to say that we have our five departments in workforce development are our fire and hazmat department, We have our business training department, certificate programs. We have industrial safety training in our EMS and police departments. And every one of those departments have had or will have some part in a workshop in the downtown through May of next year. Mm-hmm. In October, during Fire Safety Week, our Kevin Smith, our coordinator of our fire department, was at the Butler Public Library and read some books to the children that participated, and along with Butler City, I believe Butler City brought a fire truck in. They were with the children and talked to them about fire safety. And then in October, our industrial safety training department with Maria Shavala was at the Butler YMCA, and they launched our first Lunch and Learn series campaign there.
I've talked with Dr. Nick Neupower, the president of the school, about this, and inquiring, as you know, why is the college doing this? He says part of the strategic plan, and he said it's been done in some other places with even, you know, large universities where they've tried to have more of a presence in the town where they are as opposed to just on campus. Not that campus is, you know, 1,000 miles away.
Right.
But there are a lot of people that don't see the campus nearly as often as they drive through the downtown, right, Lisa?
Correct. That is correct. You know, and you always hear Dr. Neupower, and we all believe we are the community's college, and this allows us an opportunity to come and bring our college to the downtown. Mm-hmm. And we always invite individuals to come up to our main campus or any of our other campus locations, but this is nice. This initiative... not that we aren't downtown or working with individuals or businesses anyway, but this really allows us a nice format to be in the downtown mm-hmm. area.
So that's where you work from now?
Mm-hmm. I do not. Tracy is our presence downtown.
I'm the presence downtown.
Mm-hmm. Where are you in the building? Second floor?
I'm up on the second floor. Mike Robb, the executive director of ANR, was kind enough to give me his office. And he has been relocated to a very small facility. But it's a beautiful office. So if anybody wants to come in and talk to me, they just come into the ANR building. There's a lobby downstairs. There's a receptionist. And she'll come up and get me, and I'll come down and receive visitors. And that includes anybody who has questions about BC3 programming. I'm really down there to really start to help develop a collaborative, coordinated process for having community initiatives where it's not just BC3, it's other community organizations also coming together to help with economic development and helping to revive Butler and kind of put our name back on the map as kind of a happening little town like it used to be. It's just going to look different, mm-hmm. But it can still be very similar to other towns who have really had a full economic recovery, such as Asheville down in North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina.
Correct.
I've heard of it. I know where it is, in the Piedmont area, I think.
Correct. And their community college was a very key player in helping to develop that downtown area again.
Oh, I'm not familiar with this story at all.
No. Yeah. And some of the old buildings that had been shut down and, you know, empty, and we still have some of those in Butler. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things going on in Asheville. It's a real hot tourist spot right now. A lot of local brews, restaurants, entrepreneurships that have evolved mm-hmm. and made it a real tourist attraction. So it's entirely possible for Butler to have that kind of a presence on the map. It's just all the groups coming together to actually making sure that it happens.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember. I think there was a military base or something not too far from there a long time ago, too, during World War II.
Maybe. Yeah. I think that was, I was just a star in the sky.
I think I remember, I wasn't there either, but I think I remember reading about that, which was why I knew that it was in the Piedmont area. Well, another story. But I was not familiar with the community college. Community colleges are all over the country, although they're not all the same.
Correct.
You know, some of them do different things, far different things from what we do here at Butler County Community College. I want to talk about workforce development a little bit. I didn't realize there were five different areas, Lisa. I knew about fire safety because there's a great facility on the edge of campus to help with that. I assume that that's where that program is centered, right?
Our fire training program is on our public safety training grounds, yes.
Yeah.
12 acres we have developed for our public safety training programs.
There's a classroom building there, plus a burn building. There's a
multiple buildings.
Railroad car, tanker car that EMS people can practice on, and so on and so forth.
Correct.
I was trying to take quick notes when you listed the five departments. Fire and safety was one. I can't read my own writing here. Certificate programs, what's
certificate
that? What's that all about?
Certificate programs and professional education.
Okay.
So that particular department in workforce development develops programs that allows individuals to earn skills to gain a new job, mm-hmm. or maybe those that are in a profession, it allows them to earn additional skills maybe for advancement. That's the certificate programs that we create, the audience that we generally look at for those particular programs. For example, we have a welding program, an auto program, we have a pre-apprenticeship for manufacturing program, and we also have a couple new healthcare programs that we're releasing and offering this spring. And our audiences are typically for those that are unemployed or underemployed,
mm-hmm.
but we also are reaching out to our high school students as well, because every one of those certificate programs include an industry credential of some sort that allows individuals to gain an entry-level position. And in all of our programs, I do have to add, stack into an academic certificate or an associate degree program. So we allow individuals a pathway to come in to learn, to have an education, to learn some skills, and then to continue on if they'd like to.
Let's make sure people understand that the community college, you can, if you attend Butler County Community College for 2 years in any of a variety of majors, you can gain an associate degree,
correct.
Which is a standalone degree if you so desire, or you could continue on and get a bachelor's degree with another 2 years, either at another institution or staying at BC3, because there are many other universities now who allow you to do your final 2 years right there. But there are also certificate programs where you don't have to be there for 2 years. And some of them are pretty concentrated and relatively short, right?
Correct. And that is predominantly through certificate programs. That's what we offer our community. Is another form of education for individuals at the college. You know, when we hear often that college is not for everyone, and that's okay. There's still training, though, or skill sets that individuals should learn to help them gain a job in employment. And so the programs that we're putting together are to help those individuals in that way.
I've done a couple of programs here at the radio station about the new industry, you know, the high-tech cutting-edge industry that we have, actually several facilities here in Butler. It's not foundries anymore. You know, industry now is very high-tech, not only clean, but sometimes sterile rooms. But these are good jobs. But I didn't realize you had a certificate program for pre-apprentice for work in industry. That's fascinating.
We do. And actually, we've offered this program for a couple years now. For the last year and continuing into this year, we have been very fortunate that our local workforce investment board has been providing funds for this training program to allow individuals to participate for free. And that makes it much more accessible to many groups of individuals, which is our goal, is to allow all folks, an opportunity to learn skills to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And Butler County has almost 300 manufacturers, you know, right within, truly within our county. Manufacturing provides a very, very good income for individuals and opportunities, whether they're small companies or large companies. And so we built the certificate program to provide basic skills, some industry credentials, and allow people an opportunity to gain employment.
I'm trying to read my notes here. Did you say EMS was one of the departments?
EMS and police training is another one of our departments within workforce development.
EMS stands for Emergency Medical Service.
Correct.
These are like first responders, right?
To correct.
The scene of a traffic accident or tragedy or whatever.
Yes, and the EMTs that ride with the ambulance services. Mm-hmm. We provide EMT training quite, that's one of the predominant programs that we offer, as well as a phlebotomy program. We also provide
phlebotomy, how to take blood if you're getting lab work done, right?
Absolutely.
Is that what that is?
Yes, it is. That is exactly what it is. And there's a certification and credential that is essential for individuals to have, but we do put them through the classroom as well as clinical experiences to be a phlebotomist. Mm-hmm.
And again, these are programs where, you know, if you don't have 2 years, get a certificate, and I'm sure it's a door opener for people who are seeking jobs,
are.
Right?
Yes, they are. I just had spoken with a student last week who was in the phlebotomy program as a pathway to a nursing program. So, you know, you're right. These are door openers that allows folks to come in, whether it's phlebotomy or manufacturing or some of our other healthcare programs, to really go in and go to work, make sure you like it, and then maybe decide if you want to gain additional education and go further, mm-hmm. or if you want to grow where you're at.
Are these, we mentioned that these are shorter programs.
Correct.
I don't know, like weeks, or does it vary from discipline to discipline?
It varies from program to program. Typically, our certificates, and I'm going to conservatively say they're about 150 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some are more, some are a little less, but typically they're about four-week programs. You need about approximately that much time to truly educate and teach the classroom components of it, and then provide some hands-on application experiences as well.
Mm-hmm. So EMS, fire safety, does this say security? Was that one of them?
Business training,
that's what it is.
Business training is our other department.
I was trying to write so fast whenever you were talking.
It's okay. Our business training department actually is the department, sometimes is a catch-all department, but mm-hmm. the role of that department is to work with our businesses throughout our service region to develop customized programs to address the needs of their incumbent workforce. Sometimes we put open enrollment classes together, for example, for computer training or our leadership and supervision training. We'll put even a technical program like industrial mechanics or an AutoCAD class together, because there are some universal skill sets that everyone needs to have. And then we'll do those in an open enrollment format for individuals mm-hmm. as well.
We're talking with Lisa Campbell and Tracy Hack from Butler County Community College. We'll take a quick break and then be back with more of the It's Your Turn program here on Thursday. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. You know, the holiday season is so close now. Don't want to scare anybody, but 2 weeks from today is Thanksgiving Day. I'm not kidding. It's 2 weeks from today. Listen, if you're doing some cleaning, getting ready maybe for guests coming, or just getting ready for the holidays, consider donating any items that you don't want anymore, or don't have room for anymore, or maybe it's clothing that doesn't fit anymore, instead of just tossing it, into the trash, because there it goes to the landfill. We don't need to do any more of that than we need to. Consider donating items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. It's very easy to do. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South. The drop-off bins are right inside the front door. There's plenty of free parking right outside the door. They accept clothing, shoes, furniture, household items. If you have a lot of stuff or big stuff, like, you know, dining room set, bedroom set, call them and they'll come pick it up in the truck. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., 6 days a week. Phone number is 287-8682. And most importantly, remember that every penny that's generated from the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store stays here in Butler County. And it helps them to support their food bank and their client aid program. We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. That's what they like to say. Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. We continue chatting with our guests. Tracy Hack is coordinator of Community Leadership Initiatives. That's a mouthful, Tracy. Community Leadership Initiatives. Talk about that a little bit for us, please.
Well, again, as I said at the beginning, my position was created to go downtown and really work collaboratively with groups downtown, businesses and organizations, mm-hmm. to get some great community initiatives going on. So,
can you give us
some examples?
Yeah, for example, what?
Well, our opiate initiative right now is Hope is Dope. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. We are currently offering our third round of classes at the ANR building on Monday nights. And these are classes that are open to anybody in recovery, their family, their friends. We actually have a lot of professionals that work in the field that come and listen to Steve Troy, who wrote the book Hope is Dope. He is from Cranberry. He has a business called Quantum Revolution Counseling and has worked with thousands of addicts, in particular opioid addicted individuals, mm-hmm. and successfully helped them. So he wrote the book, and we took that and made it into a community initiative. And so we've been gaining a lot of speed with that. We're actually working on two grant requests right now to receive monies. So those monies would help us to be able to work in collaboration with groups like CCR, Butler County Human Services, housing, different types of training, cognitive behavior, life skills, things that people who have been in addiction sometimes don't have, often don't have, most of the time don't have. Mm-hmm. So that is Hope is Dope and our opiate initiative in the workings. That some of the grant requests are going to hopefully take us into the Mercer County area as well as the Lawrence County area. It's a really revolutionary, positive approach towards drug recovery, in particular opiate recovery. You know, we have a real stigma still in our society, and part of ending that stigma is going to be educating people on what actually happens to the brain during addiction, because the brain changes. When the brain changes, the way we think, our traditional thought pattern changes. And so when people are in recovery, helping them to gain those skills again, which is really retraining the brain, is really what it's all about. So working in collaboration with groups like the YMCA, mm-hmm. Action and Recovery, the Butler Art Center, those places have been wonderful in coming together with us to CCR, ANR. There's a list. I hate to even single out a few,
sure.
because everyone has been really good about coming together to really offer hope and recovery for people that have had an addiction problem. And the second thing that is coming out of that, hopefully in the very near future, will be somewhat of a reentry program for folks coming out of prison to really help them reorient back to society, have housing, have sustainable jobs. And when I say sustainable jobs, you know, we really have to help people, if we're going to empower them, to have jobs that they can keep themselves on. Working at minimum wage is not going to help someone who's trying to recover from addiction really get better, because how are they going to afford a car and a house and food and car insurance and all the things that you typically need to be able to relax back into normal living? So hopefully all these things, it's a slow evolvement right now, and groups are really just starting to come together and really talk about what this is actually going to look like so that we can put it into action.
I've talked with the warden of the Butler County Prison, Mr. Joe Demore,
mm-hmm.
and he has a very forward-looking philosophy on this about trying to make sure that people who have served their sentence, done their time, don't come back.
Well, that's the problem right now.
The recidivism rate is very high in many cases, especially with the drug
addiction.
Charges. Yeah.
And that's because traditionally we haven't given people the tools that they really need to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put them back out and say, oh, by the way, stay away from the same people, places, and things. That's been their whole life. So how do they do that by themselves? And I can tell you from personal experience, my daughter, who has suffered from opioid addiction for over 12 years now, served 1 year in state prison. And when she came out, she had not received any cognitive therapy.
Wow.
Her thinking was exactly the same. I can't say that she had the same type of cravings, although the same things trigger her, because those brain waves, those neurotransmitters are still firing like they used to, because she didn't receive any training for her brain to think or behave in a different way with different patterns. And I think that's a sad testimony to our current punitive system that we have towards addiction.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, why don't those people get some willpower, you know?
It's not about willpower.
No, I think you said it.
Yeah.
The brain changes.
Most people that have an addiction problem, they don't want to live that way. Who really wants to live that way? Most of them don't want to live that way. It's just that in our society, we haven't given them tools to really adequately change their lives so that they become integrated back into society and feel good about themselves. You know, in Hope is Dope, we teach them there is recovery, because a cure is actually a remission of symptoms. So when you think about it, there's lots of people that come out on the other end of addiction that have a remission of symptoms. And we teach them, that means you're cured right now. You know, they've been taught for years to keep reminding themselves every day that they're an addict or a recovering addict. Well, the word addict has such a negative connotation in itself that in our program, we don't want to use those words anymore. We want to teach them, yeah, there is a cure out there. You can be cured and you can have a normal life again. And helping them to get those tools and that belief in themselves that, yes, their life is just as valuable as anybody else's.
Good stuff. Are you familiar with this, folks? How the community college, as part of its strategic plan, is working to, and certainly in the future, working to strengthen partnerships and enhance community engagement in the city of Butler, right in the downtown area. It was just a couple of weeks ago, actually, that your sign went up, I think, on the A&R building. You had been there for a while, but...
Yeah, since August 1st.
There wasn't a sign yet. So.
Well, we were waiting for the completion and then the actual hanging, which involved more than just one day of work outside, so... Mm-hmm.
It's on the A&R building. A&R stands for what, by the way? A&R?
Alliance for Nonprofit Resources.
That's what it is, yeah. Just in case...
Somebody wants to know.
Yeah, they weren't familiar with it. It's the A&R building. I guess there are some other groups who are considering reentry programming as well. You'll be coordinating with them if you're
correct.
Able
they'll
to.
Be part of it. Mm-hmm. BC3 will just be one group involved in it.
The Butler County Community College has launched what's called a Lunch and Learn series in downtown Butler. Lisa Campbell, what's that all about, Lunch and Learn?
So the Lunch and Learn series is, it's a series of six classes that we are offering. They're six 90-minute classes at different locations throughout our downtown area, showcasing training programs from four of our different workforce development departments at BC3.
Mm-hmm.
And much like as Tracy's talking about being collaborative down here, that was the intent of this Lunch and Learn series as well. We reached out to a lot of our partners, our business partners downtown, for locations so we could showcase not only 60 minutes of a workforce training program that we may offer, but also to drive individuals to other places throughout the downtown area. And the lunch part of it, we're actually using different caterers through the downtown as well to support the program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really nice effort, we feel, to offer six different series, six different workshops. It's six different locations with six different caterers.
Yeah, all pulling local business
together.
Too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who
Absolutely.
Develops these programs?
So throughout our departments, we have many expert instructors within each department that put together our training programs normally. So when we were looking at different things that we could put together in 60 minutes, because we have, of the 90 minutes, 30 minutes really is for a networking and lunch opportunity, and then we showcase for 60 minutes a particular topic from a certain department from workforce development. Mm-hmm. So we have, once we selected the topics, then we look to our instructors to maybe take a training class that they already offer and shorten it in a workshop type thing. So we could show the individuals that participate in these workshops what BC3 is about, how our training programs might look. And for those individuals that participate, they may be interested in sharing and having BC3 come back and do training for their companies. Or maybe they'll walk away just learning something that day at this series that they can personally take back and utilize in the workplace.
How can people sign up for these workshops?
So individuals can go to our website, which is bc3.edu, and then it's /lunch-learn. You can find anything there on the workshop. You can also call our workforce development departments and just ask to speak to someone about the Lunch and Learn series.
Is it expensive?
It is not. It is only $10. Part of the initiative for us to come downtown was to really show collaborative efforts, as I said, with all the different places we're housing this and the restaurants we want to work with. But we didn't want to price it to be unattractive to individuals. This is a way for us to come down and pull folks together. Mm-hmm. So we charge only $10.
That includes your lunch?
That is to cover the cost of the lunch. Huh. That's it.
Can't beat that.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. The workforce training programs, the departments that you have, mm-hmm. Are they generally in response to, or at least sometimes in response to, where there are jobs, where there are potential careers?
Yes. Most of the time, the training programs that we put together are responsive to our community needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty broad statement that I just made. We have a lot of businesses, as I mentioned, they'll contact us and say, we need this type of training. Or, for example, our fire department works with the fire companies that need specific training. But because our coordinators in these departments are engaged in the community and we are involved with our community partners like the Workforce Investment Board or the Career Link, the Chamber of Commerce, we like to think that we try to stay knowledgeable about what the workforce needs are. What can we do to train those that are employed already, the incumbent workers, but what types of training are needed for those individuals who are job seekers?
Mm-hmm. A good example right now, from what I understand, is patient care tech. And I'm not quite sure what that would be. What's a patient care tech?
So our patient care technician certificate is, I'm going to say, responsive to the healthcare needs, but also, again, as we partner and we belong, Butler County actually has a healthcare consortium, and we participate in that. We learn what the employers are looking for when they need to hire individuals, those coming right at their immediate needs.
Mm-hmm.
The patient care technician certificate was developed as a way, again, much like the manufacturing certificate, only this is for healthcare. We train individuals through a program. We provide them industry credentials. For example, those that come through this certificate program actually earn the phlebotomy certificate, mm-hmm. as well as EKG experience, and they'll also receive a national certificate as a patient care technician. And what this really shows those employers is that they have knowledge, they have clinicals that they have to do, so they have patient care time, and they've earned credentials to allow them pathways to come into employment.
Mm-hmm.
And so employers should feel confident knowing that these individuals have earned and achieved certain levels, and they'll be good employees.
It also shows initiative on the part of the potential employee, too. They're not just,
Absolutely.
You know, looking for a paycheck and say, look what I've done. I'm interested in this area. I can help you.
Correct. You know, a certificate program like this, and not all the certificate programs are expensive. They vary from program to program, but the patient care technician certificate is has a cost of $6,000. And so that's not an inexpensive degree or an inexpensive program to come through, and I don't want to say degree, but it allows these individuals then to go and earn earn a job and that they can make good wages at. Mm-hmm. So it's an investment. It's an investment in their education.
Again, more information on anything that we're talking about today, most likely from the BC3 website?
Absolutely. Our website is full of information under workforce development. So if you do go to bc3.edu and you look for our workforce development section, you can learn about all of our programs. Again, we're a phone call away if anyone's interested in just calling. You can call and ask for me at any time, and I'll get you to the right department or answer all your questions to be able to share with you the opportunities that people have to learn a different type of education, a different type of training.
Do these programs change over time? Seems to me, I remember, I want to say a couple of years ago when the Marcellus Shale thing was exploding here in our area. That's kind of died down a little bit because the price of gas is so low that they're not drilling a lot of new wells. But didn't the community college have a certificate program for welding, like for pipeline workers or for roustabout or something like that on drilling rigs?
We did. Mm-hmm. And actually, we still do. But to your point, the programs do change. You know, as our community changes, as our employment needs change, then we do adapt to that and then we respond to that need. When the gas and oil energy came to our region, they were looking for workers, again, those entry-level workers at a roustabout position. And we were able to be part of a larger statewide program and offer what was called the ShellNet Roustabout Program to individuals. Through that program, the college, I want to say, trained about 230-some individuals.
Wow.
And about 180 of those were placed at the time into employment, either within that field or with other companies that were associated with the gas and oil field. Mm-hmm. That was a wonderful opportunity for individuals, I think, to go to work. And I'm not sure, you know, because of the downturn of gas and oil, if they were able to stay and then diversify and find other jobs. But the training that they received allowed them to diversify. From the gas and oil surge that happened before, we not only created that workforce program, but academically, we have a workforce and energy workplace certificate as well. And we have it. I know through our technology division, they're still putting students, you know, those interested in energy education through that program.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hopeful that as energy and gas and oil, the industry starts picking up again, that we'll be able to offer these and also train individuals to go to work and educate them as well.
I can imagine if someone's going to, one of the energy companies involved in the shale gas industry, for example, and, somebody just walks in, and then the next person walks in and they flash that certificate from BC3. Well, look at this, you know.
Right.
I dedicated so many hours to getting this certificate, and who are they going to hire? They're going to hire the person with the certificate, of course.
Yes, and when we actually, so every program that we offer through workforce development, and even on our academic side, we have advisory boards from industry individuals and that provide information to us about what they're looking for in our students. And when we were meeting with various gas and oil companies, there were commonalities that they were looking for, and one was an overall understanding of the gas and oil company,
mm-hmm.
or the industry. So we embedded a Petroleum 101 program, whether it was a non-credit venue or an academic program, just so we can start teaching people so they understood the language of that industry, because it was so new to our area at the time.
I love the name Petroleum 101.
That's Petroleum 101.
Fantastic.
And we had a lot of wonderful, wonderful resources to help us pull our training programs together. And, now I think with the growth of the energy industry and what they had done in years past, that roustabout position probably isn't needed as much. But there are other positions that will be required and employers will be looking for. And so we're actually working right now on a new energy certificate that hopefully I can come back and talk about when we launch it. But, again, we're working with our advisory committee and understanding what the needs are today and what those needs might look like in the next couple years.
I know I've talked with the president of the school, Dr. Nick Newpower, on numerous occasions, and he always cites the flexibility of the community college to be able to, you know, compared to, just think, you know, your stereotype image of a staid, you know, university situation where, you know, it takes years to develop a new program or, you know, come up with a new course, has to go through X number of committees and yada, yada, yada. And he's always been very proud of the fact that Butler County Community College is able to respond pretty quickly in many cases and be very flexible when the need arises.
Correct.
When there's, you know, a need for jobs in this area, whether it's, what was I asking about before, patient care technician or roustabout at a drilling rig, you know.
That is, as I sit here and smile, I think that's one of the wonderful things about our workforce development division, that all of our departments are flexible, we're responsive, we have to be adaptable. You know, we might have a blueprint reading class that some plain old blueprint reading class that this is how we've always done it, but because everything is going with software now.
Yeah, it's all digital.
We have to change and adapt. And things and opportunities like the Roustabout program, we can bring that in through workforce development, get it incubated, get it started, and then continually work with our academic side to blend an educational pathway. You know, we're always working hand in hand to allow individuals opportunities to learn and continue.
I'm smiling because I hadn't thought about that before. I know there's been digital technology advancements in many, in the broadcast industry, medical industry. I never thought about blueprints. You never see blueprints anymore, right?
Drafting, old-fashioned drafting tables where everyone learns with their rulers and pencils.
No, it's all CAD, right?
It's all CAD, automated, yes.
Computer-aided drafting? Computer-automated drafting?
Computer-automated drafting, yes.
I guess I don't need to hang on to my old T-square and triangle any longer, huh? Did you ever take drafting class?
I personally have never taken it, no.
What about you, Tracy? No?
No.
Well, I did. We'll take a break. We'll go back and talk a little bit more with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR coming up right after this break. Be right back.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot has delicious, all-natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens to make your Thanksgiving meal special this year. Their birds are handled with extreme care and are preservative and additive-free. Buy your turkey frozen today or get it fresh right before the big holiday meal. For the tastiest turkeys and chickens in Western PA, call the Jones Turkey Farm, 724-352-2450, or visit jonesturkeyfarm.com. The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot, quite simply the best.
Hearing aids are a complex issue, but at the heart of it, we really want just a few simple things. We want to be able to hear well, to get personalized care, and all at a reasonable cost. Well, a simple chat with Hearing Services by Kelly, and you'll find that she stands above the rest. She's not going to sell you the highest price hearing aid just to make a sale. In fact, you'll save thousands of dollars because there isn't any overhead. With Kelly, you get experience and one-on-one personalized care that you don't get anywhere else. Call the hearing aid lady today. Phone number 724-756-4327. That's 724-756-4327. Her customers who made the change are so happy they did, and you will be too. 724-756-4327. Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us. We're chatting with the two representatives of Butler County Community College. If you've joined us a little bit late, and that happens here during the afternoon show, Lisa Campbell is with us. She's the Interim Director of Workforce Development at BC3, and Tracy Hack is the Coordinator of Community Leadership Initiatives. Let's talk, Tracy, a little bit about some of the partnerships that you're working on, especially with the ANR, right?
So at ANR, Sandy Curry is their community manager, Sandy and I are working hand in hand to really try to bring some things to Butler that will help with economic growth. And some of the things that we're looking at will actually, I think, fit well into a reentry empowerment program and kind of become community adopted, not just for those people who are, you know, in reentry or, you know, coming back to the employment area after addiction. So some of the meetings that we've been going to are kind of centered around controlled environmental agriculture. Most people don't realize, I don't think, that southwestern Pennsylvania is not very self-sustaining when it comes to food. So, you know, traditionally we go to the supermarket and we get our foods that come from, a lot of the produce comes from Mexico. Our fish comes from China and a variety of places. And People's Gas, they were bought out, but it's still an initiative that was started by People's Gas, is looking at some different areas in southwestern Pennsylvania to start these controlled environmental agriculture centers, which could be huge for our area, because what that would basically allow us to do is to be more self-sustaining when it comes to food. In other words, these centers would, we would grow, you know, you would grow produce. You would also have an outdoor area where you could have things that are, you know, just seasonal growing. And some of them have aquaponics attached to it. So it's regenerating energy too that can be used in other areas. And if you have a fish component to that, you have your fish waste feeding your agriculture, and then your agriculture waste feeding into your fish. So it's a really amazing thing, and we're really hoping there are conversations taking place that hopefully will open a door to have something like that here in Butler. We're also working on the idea of some community gardens, which may fit really well into a reentry empowerment piece for the community. But more significantly, if we can get community gardens going, and these would be downtown, that might be an opportunity for folks to rent plots where they can actually grow produce and start to have entrepreneurship with food, value-added foods. So when you think about that, they can grow tomatoes maybe, and they take that product and turn it into tomato sauce, much like Mama Rosa's does. They make their own pizza sauce and things. So we see that as a definite possibility for entrepreneurship. And when you tie it all together, people that have traditional barriers to employment, entrepreneurship is a really good opportunity for them, especially people coming out of prison who may have a felony. Unfortunately, we live in a society where many businesses have shut their doors on people that have a felony, regardless of whether or not that person has got their life together.
There's even some communities that are considering not allowing that to be put on a job application anymore.
Correct. Because, ban the box.
Yeah.
It's called ban the box. And hopefully it becomes a state initiative. It is in some other states, because it's really prohibiting some individuals. There's actually 7.5 million individuals between the ages of 25 and 48 that are misplaced workers that have given up on finding sustainable wages. And that's really sad when you think about it. And it's in every community. It's here, it's everywhere in the United States. And so the role, I think, of our community college in the future is going to be providing sustainable jobs for people in our area, because we are the community's college in Mercer and Lawrence and Armstrong and all these places where we are. And what does that look like? And we really have to start to take a look at what does that look like? What is the job market of the future? And there's just so many possibilities working with ANR. And working with Sandy, who has a really strong background in partnerships and entrepreneurship, I'm hoping that a lot of good things will develop out of that.
Some of these are really grand designs that, you know, people maybe wouldn't associate with the community college. I think it's wonderful.
Right. But, you know, the key thing that you have to remember is anything is possible. And sometimes we have to move away from our old school thinking of what we've done for a long time. Well, what's going to work in the future? what can we build for our community in the future? What's going to make us a sustainable, booming community? Mm-hmm. And those are some of the things that we really have to start thinking about.
Yeah, I've discussed that with Dr. Neupower on occasion about how the, you know, the basic model for higher education has not changed in about 400 years.
It really hasn't.
Yeah,
it needs to.
If it's going to survive, it needs to. Yeah.
Yes.
And if you're going to help a community thrive, it needs
right.
to.
Right. One of the things that I learned in a recent conference was that the idea of apprenticeships and internships is kind of learn and earn is really what's going to be our future. Mm-hmm. Because that gives people the opportunity to be earning while they're learning, and also not just a traditional academic route, but many of the skills that young people and people, you know, we're talking about people that have barriers to employment, don't have, like the soft skills and the cognitive thinking skills. And so it's going to all be part. They had a really interesting conversation that I sat in and listened to, took place in, about how many different technologies people sometimes have to use on a job now. And the ability for people to adapt and learn all those different technologies. And when that technology changes, how fast can you catch on to that technology? Mm-hmm. And so these are all skills that people are going to have in the future.
Are there government agencies or philanthropic foundations who are aware of this and might help with grant money and so on and so forth to develop these programs?
There's lots of grant possibilities out there. It's really finding the right ones and collaborating with the right partners to go after those grant possibilities, those initiatives.
Well, I think the college recently received an Appalachian Regional Commission grant for one of the things you were talking about a little earlier, right?
Correct. So most people don't think of Butler County Community College as being part of the Appalachian region, but we are. And Westmoreland was the other community college that was selected out of. So those two community colleges in Pennsylvania are part of this, what they call ARC grant. It's regional for Appalachian community colleges. So what that's going to involve is workforce development and cognitive healing and therapy for opioid afflicted individuals to get their lives back together again in those regions, which is really great.
Well, the college is among other groups seeking a $1 million grant from the State Department of Human Services. We don't know whether that'll be successful. Is that earmarked for anything?
Yeah. That's like $1.7 million.
Ooh.
And that's out of the Pennsylvania Human Services Department. Mm-hmm. And we are collaborating with a lot of groups for that right now, and also with Lawrence County to do a regional collaborative request. And that would be specifically designed to also, again, help people that have been afflicted with opioid use disorder.
And you're also hopefully trying to get a grant from the Buell Regional Health Foundation. I'm not familiar with that foundation.
That's actually in Mercer, and I work on a team up there. And so the idea behind that grant is also for people who have had addiction problems, not just opioid, but addiction problems, and making a pathway for them, reintegrating them back into society and getting them jobs and places to live and a stable lifestyle again.
Mm-hmm. I have to check with my producer here. We still have to do the lottery numbers, don't we? Let's take a break and do that. We'll come back and chat for a few more minutes with Tracy and Lisa here on It's Your Turn, the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. It's Thursday. That's the weekend looming ahead. We're not quite there yet, but it's looming. It's looming. We'll be back right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 9999. The pick 3, 651, 651. The pick 4, 0830. The pick 5, 26570. Wild ball for each of those is 9. The treasure hunt is 12, 17, 20, 22, 24. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $26,000.
Mm-hmm. Finding qualified candidates to fill jobs is one of the toughest tasks employers face. What's the best way to find those candidates? How about radio? Radio reaches 93% of adults on a weekly basis. So your next qualified candidate is out there and probably listening to our station. Let the Butler Radio Network help craft a message that will bring skilled employees to your office. Put simply, the Butler Radio Network can help you find more qualified candidates. Call today at 724-283-1500 or visit butlerradio.com. And click on advertising.
Welcome back. Gosh, our time runs short here. We just get to gabbing, and suddenly we're close to the end of our time together. Tracy wanted to talk with you a little bit about New Eyes program. Is that right?
New Eyes is a program that's coming up. It's going to be in... It's going to be like a following up process after Hope is Dope, people that go through the Hope is Dope classes.
It's Hope Night that you want to
It's Hope about. Night. I'm sorry. So Hope Night, the first Hope Night that we're going to have is December 10th. And this was born out of the initiative, and more specifically, the team that I have, I call it an advisory team, different people from the community who help with our Hope is Dope initiative. So they wanted to have what they called a Hope Night. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, we think of AA meetings and NA meetings. This is kind of like, okay, a hope meeting where we're going to do activities that build endorphins, because endorphins is the number one thing that opioid addicts have to get fired up again is their natural brain endorphins. So it's going to be Washboard Tony is going to be there playing music. It'll be at the Butler Art Center on December 10th from 7 to 9. We're going to have some food. There's going to be, if someone wants to bring children, we're going to have, we just wanted to have a fun thing. So there's going to be finger painting for children, adults if they want to finger paint. I may do that. And then also some watercolor painting. So just something to bring people together and talk about hope and recovery and the possibility of having a normal life again after an addiction problem.
It's a few weeks down the road yet, but make sure you get us the details whenever it's all finalized.
Okay.
And we'll make sure we put that on the news. Early December, you said?
December 10th. It's a Monday evening from 7 to 9 at the Butler Art Center, and I want to put a shout-out to them because they've been really wonderful with this initiative and hopping on board to be part of it.
And the New Eyes program that I ask about, that's next
year
sometime.
That's in March, and that's in, it's kind of a follow-up for people who do have an addiction problem, but it's for anybody, because what it really does is anybody who has worked through an addiction and come out on the other side will probably tell you some kind of spirituality is really something that helped them a lot. So New Eyes kind of addresses all the different kinds of spirituality that are out there and how they're actually all teaching the same thing, which is that we are all spirits in a physical body. It doesn't matter if you practice Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, all of the different prophets were actually teaching us the same thing. And when you have had an addiction problem or even anxiety, depression, and you realize that you're just a spirit in a human body, it's life-changing. It, like, flips a page for you, gives you a whole different perspective on life, and gives you a new lens. And the book, which is called New Eyes, was also written by Steve Troy, and it's really life-changing.
Folks, I can remember, maybe 2 years ago, when Dr. Nick Neupower was with us here on the program, and he talked about the strategic initiatives of the college and how his hope, his dream was to, you know, become more of the community's college, make sure people realized that, you were the community's college, and get involved in the downtown area. And I just thank the two of you so much for being with us today, because it gives this is tangible now, you know, this is not somebody, you know, talking in dreamland or in the ivory tower here. It's happening.
Yeah, there's people on the ground working to make this happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're working with a lot of different groups because it's going to be a community effort.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want more information on any of the things that we've chatted about today, the place to start would probably be to go to bc3.edu, right? That's the
correct
community college website. And if you can't find what you're looking for there, call, and they'll certainly direct you to the right departments.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes. Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking time to chat with us
Thank
today.
Thank you for having Thank us. You.
Very informative for me, I think for our listeners, too.
Thank you.
Thanks. Visiting with us, Tracy Hack, the Coordinator of Community Leadership Initiatives with BC3, office now downtown in the A&R building, and also with Lisa Campbell, the Interim Director of Workforce Development. Time for us to check news, but a quick program note. Remember, we have Steeler football tonight here on WISR. I know what I do, because I love to listen to Bill Hillgrove call Steeler football. He's the hometown guy, so even if you're watching on TV, turn the sound down, listen to Bill Hillgrove do the live radio play-by-play here on WISR. 8:20 is kickoff. It's the Steelers' turn to be on Thursday Night Football tonight. Okay, news coming up next. Hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Friday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 in Butler.
This is Butler's hometown radio station, where you wake up with Dave Malarkey every weekday morning starting